guys look amazing. Well, breathtaking, captivating. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm so glad I came tonight. Oh. Go ahead and grab your seats. On the way down, give the person next to you a little squeeze on the shoulder. Even if you don't know who they are, it'll be the start of a beautiful friendship. You never know, it could be the beginning of the sisterhood of the traveling pants. Just give them a squeeze. Oh, we're gonna have some fun tonight. Thank you guys, thank you. We couldn't do it without these great men and women. We couldn't. We are better together, thank you. Wasn't that Greece? I mean, I was enthralled. I almost couldn't cheer because I didn't want to miss anything. And oh, to be able to look like Jasmine in a black cat suit. I'm sorry. Her rear view was mesmerizing. Just a tiny bit jealous. Just a wee bit. Well, we're going to have a good time tonight. I want to make sure that I finish on time because I want to honour your time. I know you've left a lot of kiddos at home and husbands who can't live without you. So I'm going to get straight down to business tonight. I've got a great word. I want us to have fun. More than anything, can we just have fun? Can we have a good time? Good, thank you. Because where Jesus is, life follows. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't have life without Jesus. You might think you can, but you really can't. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. But I love the beginning of every Cherish Year because it really allows me to speak from God's perspective to his girls. And I was thinking about what he wanted me to say, and I'm going to absolutely do my best to translate God this evening, so have a lot of grace for me. But, you know, I was thinking about woman. I was thinking about womankind. And I was thinking about creation and how God made the earth and he, you know, just made it so beautifully. And don't we look around at all the incredible things that God has made, like the wildlife and the flowers and the mountain ranges and the beautiful, majestic oceans and the beautiful, raw beauty of the deserts. And it's just amazing. And so God created this incredible earth for us to live on. And then on the Bible says that on the sixth day that God created man. And it was when God stopped speaking and creating things with his mouth. But the Bible says, and then God formed man from the dust of the earth. God was playing around in the dust and then a man popped out. And he goes, I probably should resuscitate that. So the Bible says that then he breathed his own breath into the man's nostrils and he became a living being. Wow. But then I think about God's last creation. Do you know that you and I, women, we are God's final act? We are his finale. We are the final. I mean, have a think about it for a second. Man, and gosh darn, we just love them so much, don't we? But they were God's first try at making a human. They were his. How many of you have ever like started a recipe for the first time and you're like, that was good, but it's missing something. I need to add a little bit of sugar and spice. Our friend, the scientist, Chris, knows exactly what I'm talking about here today. And then God created woman. His final act, known as the fairest sex, that's you and I. What a privilege. It's like God made woman, he said, done. Perfection. That's the last thing I need to make because I went ahead and broke the mold right there. Might as well just finish, drop the mic, walk out. And then I was thinking about, you know, God's intention for his girls. And if any of you know dads, really great dads, how they dote on their daughters and how much they love their daughters and how protective they are of their daughters. Think of that times about a trillion in the way that God sees you and I, his girls. And then I kind of just did a little bit more thinking and I thought a little bit about the world today. And I wondered if God looked down from heaven every now and then and looked at some of his girls and said, this was not how it was meant to look. If God actually leant down and kind of had a what the heck moment. They're wearing headwear fashioned after genitalia on their head and marching angrily through the streets. This isn't what I envisaged for my beautiful finale of creation. They're twirling around stripper poles for the thrill of a man who sees nothing more than them, more in them other than just a couple of cheap moments of his own self-satisfaction. This isn't how it was meant to look like. And I feel God say, my intention was always for womankind to be captivating. But this world is wanting to make women looked at for all the wrong reasons, not the right reasons. And if you look around the world today, there are many women who are no longer captivating, but they're shocking. I mean, all you need to do is turn on some of the comedy channels to see some of the vulgarity and the profanity. And, you know, I feel compassion for this girls and for these girls. And really, that's why Cherish Ministry started. Because we're meant to be the salt and light. And we're meant to be the people who help others who are stumbling around in darkness and don't know the true value and intrinsic intent that their daddy God had for them. So when I was putting together this message, I felt so strongly the Lord told me, I want you to talk about Rebecca tonight. There's a girl in the Bible, her name is Rebecca. Her story is found in Genesis chapter number 24. We're going to read a little bit about it. But the meaning of the name Rebecca, funnily enough, is captivating. And today I believe that God is wanting to restore the true intent to his daughters today and say, you were not born to be shocking. You were born to be captivating in Jesus' mighty name. So will you come with me as we peer out through the doorway of this beautiful heroine, Rebecca's household, and look at her story and understand and be reminded today who you and I were created to be. Genesis 24, verses 1 through to 23. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit because I made the mistake of reading way too much scripture last night. So thank God I get a do-over at Central. So you guys are getting 2.0. Yes, you're getting the better version tonight. So thank God. All right. Okay, it says this. Abraham was now an old man. God had blessed Abraham in every way. So Abraham spoke to the senior servant in his household, the one in charge of everything he had. See, they had butlers back then too. And he said, put your hand under my thigh and swear by God. I guess they didn't have pens back in those days. They needed thighs and hands. He said, swear by God, God of heaven, God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son Isaac. Remember that name, Isaac. From among the young women of the Canaanites here. And Canaanites is literally, I believe, translated to be Jersey Shore. But forgive me. This is not being live streamed. But we'll go to the land of my birth. Oh, we're just having fun, aren't we? You'd say that at home, so don't judge me in public. But we'll go to the land of my birth and get a wife for my son Isaac. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham, which was the custom of the time, I'm imagining, and gave his solemn oath. And then the servant took 10 of his master's camels, turned to the person next to you and say, camels, and loaded with gifts from his master, loaded with gifts. So is this now telling you a little bit about Abraham and his very eligible bachelor son, Isaac, that he's looking for a wife for? All right, okay. All the pieces are coming together. And then he traveled to the city of Nahor, and outside the city, he made the camels kneel at a well. It was evening, the time when the woman came to draw water. He prayed, oh God, God of my master Abraham, make things go smoothly this day. Oh, that's a good prayer. I think I'm going to steal that prayer. Let's pray that tomorrow. Yes, let's pray it tomorrow. Treat my master Abraham well as I stand here by the spring while the young women of the town come out to get water. Let the girl to whom I say, lower your jug and give me a drink, and who answers, drink and let me also water your camels. So messenger, manservant, I'm not just going to get you a drink. I'm going to feed and water your entire fleet of camels. So he's kind of really putting out quite the fleece here. I mean, this is a big ask, all right? And when she says, let me also water your camels, let her be the woman you have picked out for your servant Isaac. Then, oh no, oh God, that you're working graciously behind the scenes for my master. God's good at working behind the scenes, girls. It so happened that the words were barely out of his mouth when Rebecca, somebody say captivating, came out with a water jug on her shoulder. The girl was stunningly beautiful, a pure virgin, as opposed to an impure virgin. I mean, it's the logical question, isn't it? She went down to the spring, filled her jug and came back up. The servant ran to meet her and said, please, can I have a sip of water from your jug? She said, certainly, drink. And she held the jug so that he could drink. Okay, she passes the first test, remember? He said, if she offers me a drink, tick, all right. When he had satisfied his thirst, she said, I'll get water for your camels too. Jackpot, jackpot right there, manservant. I'll get water for your camels too until they've drunk their fill. She promptly emptied her jug into the trough and ran back to the well to fill it. And she kept at it until she had watered all the camels. And just so you know, Bible scholars tell us it was probably about 40 trips she had to take in order to take care of this manservant's camels. The man watched silent. Was this God's answer? Had God made his trip a success or not? When the camels had finished drinking, the man brought out gifts, a gold nose ring, which was the style of the time, weighing a little over a quarter of an ounce, and two arm bracelets weighing about 4 ounces, and gave them to her. And he asked her, tell me about your family. Whose daughter are you? And you know what I reckon? I reckon there are people in San Diego that are going to look at the beautiful, captivating woman that you are and ask the question, whose daughter are you? And you're going to be able to lead them to Jesus. So I want to talk about, go on, give God a shout. Why not? Let's get excited about what God is doing in our city and our hearts tonight. Captivating quality number one. Are you ready? A heart to serve others. The Bible says that quickly she lifted her jug and was there with a beautiful, selfless servant heart to do what the man was asking of her. What made Rebecca captivating and what makes you and I captivating to this world that is so self-obsessed is a servant heart. There's nothing more unattractive than a spirit of entitlement. And I'm telling you, that spirit is trying to grip the hearts of people all across, not just this nation, but the nations of the earth. But you and I are called to be women of a different spirit. We are servant-hearted people. I love Jesus's example. The Bible tells us in John chapter number 13 that Jesus, who was, just so you know, the most important man in every room he entered. There was no one better than Jesus. Doesn't matter if he walked into a room with kings, queens, presidents, really wealthy businessmen. He was the reason for the season. And when he walked into a room, everybody should have been bowing and paying attention. But he walked into this particular room in the book of John. And the Bible says he proceeded to get a wash basin. He proceeded to get a cloth and wash their feet. And they couldn't believe it. Jesus, you are doing the dirtiest jobs saved for the slaves. What are you doing, Jesus? We pay someone for that. But Jesus is like, you know what? I'm going to do this because I'm modeling to you how I want you to live your life. Because there are enough entitled ingrates out there who think they're superior than everybody else. But the Son of Man did not come to planet Earth to be served, but to serve and to lay down his life as a ransom for many. I tell you what makes you captivating to a world that has been caught up in its own self-absorption is your ability to serve. I tell you. And who would have thunk it? Here she is serving. Rebecca, I mean, I like her already. She's serving, she's giving, she's trudging up and down, filling the water troughs over and over so everybody could drink and be satisfied. Then the Bible says at the end of it all, she didn't know anything about this guy. And what I love about her is her agenda. She had none. She was just a servant. And you know, we even have a spate in this world today where I'll serve, but so long as it leverages me. So long as it's a stepping stone. But Rebecca had absolutely no idea who she was serving. She didn't know till he busted out these heavy-duty bracelets that made her walk around with her arms by her side because they were so legit. And the nose ring. Oh, my gosh, I actually just helped Bill Gates' personal assistant. I can't believe it. You know, many of us these days are caught up in that, you know, worldly spirit that is quite shocking of entitlement. And we'll say, well, I have a blog, I've written my thoughts and opinions, and I had Ernest and Reuben take professional photos of me. And I set up my website, Leanne Mattesius Ministries, right? I got all the gifts going on. Now somebody better give me a platform. I'm not letting you near our people. I'm not letting you near. Because I tell you what, the same prerequisite God has is the same prerequisite we have. That you start as a servant. See, because God doesn't look as a man sees. You can have all the blogs in the world. You can have all the street cred in the world. But if you don't have the fruit of service, you got nothing. What are you going to say when you get on the platform? Be selfish like me. Create your world around your own universe. Like, no, what do you got? What do you get? You got nothing. Unless you learn to serve your fellow humankind. I mean, I love it. You know what? We don't need more blogs. We don't need more opinions, but we need more workers. You know, when Jesus looked out at the field, he identified a problem and he was with his disciples. And the Bible says that his heart was moved with compassion because his heart was in the right place and his agenda was the people. And the Bible says he was moved with compassion because the people were scattered and like sheep without a shepherd. And he said, I want you to pray to the Lord of the harvest, not for more blogs, not for more opinions, not for more gifted people, but for more workers to bring in the harvest. So today I want you to see what is a really important value to the heart of God. And that's someone who willingly and selflessly serves other people. You know, we may not need more blogs, more websites, more opinions, but we sure do need more kids workers. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we do. Come on. Am I getting an amen from Pastor Michaela and Pastor Shauna? And listen, these are the same people that would say, I'm going to write a blog about the government's need to fix things for our kids. And God's like, you know what? I actually don't need your blog, but I could use your hands every Sunday. I could really use your hands. And we're all complaining about the shooting that happened in Florida when we have an opportunity at the grassroots on the ground floor every Sunday to infiltrate young lives. So when they get to high school, they're not so broken that they go and shoot 17 people. We don't need opinions, we need workers. My gosh, I didn't get here because I had an opinion. I watered camels. I'm still watering camels. Most of you probably have way more education than I do. What got me here is not my degree. What got me here is the fact that I continually said yes to God when everybody else said no. Pastor Becky, and you may think, well, she got chosen as the campus pastor because she's pretty. And she is pretty. Or she's Leanne's friend. And she is my friend. But let me tell you, for 10 years and still to this day, she's watering camels. When she first joined, you know what her job was? Joined our church 11 years ago. Setting up the bathrooms. Watering the camels, she was. The stinky, gross camels. And then she progressed. Her and her husband got to oversee the parking team. They got to make sure that everybody's first impression when they came to C3 Church was a positive one. And then because she was faithful with that, we said, will you start a connect group? And she started a connect group. And it flourished because she cared for her people so well that we said, will you run the entire connect group ministry? And so when it came time to see someone, to have someone oversee our central campus, it was an easy choice. We just looked at the person who had been watering somebody else's camels for 12 years. It's amazing. See, the world's got it wrong. I want you to understand today. I want you to understand, and how beautiful is God. The very camels that Rebecca watered were the same camels that carried her to her destiny, Isaac. You cannot outgive God, my friends. You cannot outgive God. But what this world needs right now is a revelation and a revolution and a revival of women who have a servant's heart. And I'm going to have a call to action at the end of the night. Point number two, captivating quality number two, a spirit that rejoices in the success of others. And listen, you may have come here to Cherish with some negative past church experiences of catty, mean-spirited, negative, jealous women. Well, I want you to leave that residue in the past, because that's not how we operate here. At Cherish Women's Ministry, we are all about rejoicing in the success of others. And if you find someone who's not, you personally tell me and I'll deal with them. I'll get out my wooden spoon. Look at this in Genesis chapter 24, 60. This is the farewell that Rebecca got as she was leaving from all the girls in the neighborhood. Our sister, may you increase for thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the cities of their enemies. Think about it for a second. I wonder if that would happen in this generation right now, when full of haters. We hate the people that have what we want, but we don't want to do what they did to get it. We just rather hate on them, right? I mean, because this is amazing, because Rebecca, I'm telling you, she had the windfall of a lifetime. She married the most eligible bachelor of like the century. He like had the heart of King David and most likely the body of like David Beckham. And the face of Ryan Gosling and the checkbook of Mark Zuckerberg. Okay, so he was the perfect catch, right? If you're into that, I mean, I was just pulling names out of the air. I mean, I wouldn't have a clue personally. But the response is so telling. Look at this. I mean, they weren't shooting daggers. I hope she dies on the way. He was mine. I had his picture up on my board. I had his poster there. And I believe that God told me that Isaac was going to be for me. That witch. And you know what? We see it in church sometimes. And I tell you, it shows you maturity of spirit. And you'll be a captivating woman when you can genuinely applaud and rejoice in the success of other people. There's a scripture in the Bible. Go ahead and put it up on the screen. It says, I want you to, this is God speaking, rejoice when others rejoice and weep when others weep. But right now, we're caught in the midst of a culture that weeps when others rejoice and rejoice when others weep. Oh, did you hear about Jane? It's amazing. She got this beautiful new home. I mean, they bought this home. I mean, they're paying less than they thought they would. They got a miracle. It's 5 bedrooms and they were only believing for 4. They wanted a swimming pool. They put it on their vision card and lo and behold, the house has a swimming pool. And then on the outside, you're like, oh, that's fantastic. Oh, that's terrific for them. And then on the inside, you're like the Wicked Witch of the West. I'm melting. What a world, what a world, what a world. What a world. But then a couple of months later, you hear, you know, poor old Jane. The house fell out of escrow. She's devastated. And on the outside, you're like, oh, that's tragic. I'll make sure I pray for her. I'll pray for it at the prayer meeting. And on the inside, you're like, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, because you lost your house. I will rejoice and hate on you, because you lost your house. It is savage. And that's not how we do things here, just so you know. I'm not going to see your blessing, your opportunity, and your time in the sun as a threat. I'm going to see it as a testimony. Because guess what? The God that blessed you is the same God that can bless me. The God that opened the door for you is the same God that can open the door for me. My security isn't in the hand of man, it's in my God. He is the door opener. And jealousy is just insecurity. A lack of trust that the same God that bought her Isaac can't do the same thing for you. I'm sorry. He's the God of abundance. He has more than enough, including Isaacs and houses and other stuff. Okay? Just remember that. So don't be jelly. Don't be hating on one another. Amen. Bible says in Proverbs 14:30, a peaceful heart, a heart that is secure in the goodness of God directed to your life. The Bible says, I know the thoughts I think toward you. God makes it personal toward you. They're good plans, good thoughts, and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Eyes front, your eyes on God. When you look at others and they're succeeding, rejoice. Because the same God that delivered them into their promised day is the same God that can deliver you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Captivating quality, number three, you ready? A woman who lives without compromise. Oh, if God could raise up in San Diego a group of women, a group of cherished women who are uncompromising in a world full of compromises. I love this particular scripture, and I think you'd miss it when you read the story of Rebecca if you didn't linger on it. It says this in Genesis 24, 62 to 65. After Rebecca was taken to meet Isaac, she was on her way, and the Bible says that in the evening, Isaac went out into the field while meditating. I guess he was a bit of a hippie. He looked up and saw camels coming. Come on, the same camels that our girl was watering. When Rebecca looked up and saw Isaac, her heart started to beat. I added that. Her eyes got huge. She went weak at the knees. And she got down from her camel that she'd watered and asked the servant, who is that man coming out in the field towards us? Lord, have mercy. And the messenger said, that is my master. So here's what she did. She didn't run. She didn't run her Baywatch run with her bosoms bouncing and strut on over and throw her body around him and say, you're mine. Come with me. Let me have my way with you. What does she do? Let's have a look. Let's see. It says, she took her veil and covered herself. Wow. Just so you know, the land that Rebecca grew up in was a very corrupt land, known for its idol worship. And yet in this very corrupt and compromising land, God found a captivating woman who didn't compromise in a land that was full of compromise. She did the right thing. Girls, do not let the devil lie to you and tell you that you need to compromise your standards and compromise what you know to be right in order to have fun. I can have more fun with three girls in a car on a road trip with a bottle of water than most women can have in Las Vegas with a case of champagne and $1,000. I'm sure, hands down, no contest. No contest. I remember. And you got to understand, I'm going to tell that story. I'm going to go back to this story. Because Rebecca, don't think that she was some square peg. She left her hometown at 15 to go to a land she'd never seen, to marry a man she'd never met. She was excitable. She would, as an adventurous, she was like a cherished chick. She spread love and laughter and fun and light wherever she went. However, that beautiful life that she carried didn't cause her to overstep the line and the boundaries that she knew was right. I love this particular part of the story because it really is just such a mandate and an invitation for you and I to do the same. She was captivating. She didn't compromise. I remember being in high school and I was lucky enough to have parents who loved me, who spoke life into me, who taught me great values and took me to church every Sunday. I knew right from wrong. I had no business touching the fire because I knew it burned. And I remember at 14 years of age being in high school and I was engaged. I got to tell you, there's nothing quite like a woman who is in the world but not of it. She's not pulled out watching TBN in a cave the whole time just waiting for Jesus to come back. She's engaged with the world around her. She's not afraid. She's out there, baby. And so I was at high school. I was on the choir. I was the school captain for my grade. I was the sports captain, which is remarkable since I am so uncoordinated. And people vote me off the volleyball team. I know, judge them. So this was me. I was engaged. I was in there. And so I was at maths class. And I'm not sure if over here people graffiti on the desks at school. Okay, so they do it in Australia because it's a land of convicts. So graffiti. And I sat down at this math class and I looked down and I saw my name. And it said, Leanne Gray is frigid. And straight away I thought, no, I am not. And then I asked what the word frigid meant. And you know what? For a minute I was insulted. Well, I don't want to be frigid. And then I had a thought. Every 14-year-old girl should be frigid. I don't want your sticky 15-year-old hands all over my body with your sweaty breath and your acne. I'm not going to compromise on the altar of immediate, on the altar of being accepted. I'm not going to compromise my value and my worth just like you shouldn't. I'm going to wait for not just a man, but the man who says, forsaking all others, I choose you for better, for worse, for richer or poorer. I choose you. Don't sell yourself short. Sadly, and look, in so many ways, the church is the hospital for those who need redemption. And our God is a healer and he's a redeemer. But young girls here today, let me implore you. You don't need to touch the fire to know that it burns. Get on out there. Enjoy your life. Live it well. Live it to the fullest. But hold on to your innocence. Because once it's gone, you can't get it back. And I thank God that when I go to bed at night with my husband, unlike a lot of people cannot say this, and I realize that I'm very privileged because of the upbringing I had, that I don't go to bed with a million different faces and thoughts and images and interactions in my head. Jürgen is the best sex I've ever had because he's the only sex I've ever had. The man cannot lose. He cannot lose. I tell you one more story. I'm running out of time. Okay, so here's the counter to that, because some churches want to get all religious and pharisaical, and we don't. In fact, I like you less than the worldly people, because at least they're open with their stuff. Those religious people, they like to look like they look, they walk like this, in the spirit. They're walking around like that. They in the natural, they look like this. I've got it all together. But this is how God sees them. Oh, I can't. I'd take 1,000 pot smokers over 1,000 religious folk any day of the week. As sure as I'm standing here. And look, we'll take care of them too. But at least they're obvious. Oh, the religious folk, they walk in here raining on our parade. You know, the Bible says, it's for freedom I set you free. Not so you'd be under bondage anymore, but use your freedom to live well and enjoy life to the fullest. Oh, and you'll find that a cherish. So if you come in here with a religious spirit, allow it to be evicted from your life. But I tell you what, we're not going to let you do. We're not going to let you touch the thermostat of our meetings. Oh, no. You ain't getting near the air conditioning in this place. You are not turning it down to freezing cryptic levels where everybody's sitting tremoring in fear. We can't do, oh, did you see that girl in her black leotard cat suit? That can't be of Jesus. Jesus made that body. He made it. He put it together. And he said, I like it. It looks good. So stop it. Here's what the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says. The law brings death, but the Spirit gives life. And our goal at Cherish, a captivating woman, is a woman who lives life God's way to the full. She looks at the future with a smile. She's excited. She's happy. She's just like Rebecca. She's adventurous. She knows how to take risks. She's hospitable. She talks to strangers. She's not afraid of people. She's not carrying away going stranger danger. She's engaged with the world around her. She's got a smile on her face, and God creates opportunities for her that the religious will never get because they're too frozen in Jesus' name. They're the frigid ones. Write about them on the desk. There's the music. Captivating quality, number 4. A woman who inquires of the Lord. And this particular verse is taken a little later in Rebecca's life. By this time, she's married. For whatever reason, it took 20 years for Rebecca and Isaac to have children. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 25, verse 21, that Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife. What a good husband. We're going to help you find those husbands that emerge. Because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea. How good is our God? I don't know what you've heard about God, but he loves you. And he wants to fill the areas of barrenness in your life and bring life where there was death or discouragement or loss. And Rebecca conceived. But the children struggled together within her. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, there are two nations in your womb. Can you imagine the stretch marks? I mean, at that point, I would be begging for a C-section. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. There is something captivating about a woman who knows to inquire of the Lord. You know, we live in a world that is so well-versed with going to Google. I have a tremor, I go to Google, see what Google says. But there's something captivating about a woman who inquires of the Lord. She's a woman of great peace. She's a woman of great security. She's a woman of great faith. She's a woman who lives without anxiety, without fear. She's got a beautiful joy that bubbles up from the inside of her because she's inquired of the Lord. If we can encourage anything in your lives, beautiful, cherished women, I want you to be women who inquire of the Lord, who spend time sitting at his feet like Mary did, listening to his words. I don't know where I'd be without the voice of God. I don't know where I'd be if God didn't speak to me. Just recently, I heard a news report that a woman on a very popular talk show said, if you talk to God, that's one thing, but if he talks back, that means you have a mental illness. Ooh, let me just confront that evil. And now listen, our battle is not against flesh and blood, because that woman was operating out of a demonic spirit to try to diminish and undermine the value of having God speak to you. I remember a particular situation where I was sitting aside next to a woman, a Christian woman, who had sadly lost her child to addiction. I remember having such compassion, but she looked at me and she said, "You know, your son who's struggling, and this was many years ago, he's never going to be free. You can never trust him. He's always going to have a sword of Damocles hanging over his head. He will never be completely free from that. He'll have to battle it for the rest of his life. But here's the difference. I'm a woman that inquires of the Lord. The Bible says, my sheep know the voice of their shepherd, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. And I felt God say, nope, cancel. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you see the reward of the wicked." I'm telling you today, can we be women who are not captive by fear, who are not captive by the opinions of others, who are not held ransom by anxiety, but women who know how to inquire of the Lord? I'm all about the corporate meeting. I love it to bits. We got to do it. But if this is the only time you engage with God, you need to take your relationship with God to the next level. If the only time you can worship is when Bethel comes to town, you got to fix that. And guess what? They got like CDs and you can download them on your iPad and it's like they're with you in the room. And you can go ahead and worship. Don't forsake what God wants to do in your private world with being content to just have these public outings. Build a lifestyle. Cultivate an environment where God can speak to you. God's got so much he wants to say to you. He's the one who can stand up in the midst of the most ferocious storm and say, "Peace, be still." I tell you what, we may have storms rage around us, but the storm doesn't need to rage on the inside of you. The reason that Jesus could sleep on that boat was because he knew his destiny wasn't at the bottom of a lake. He's like, "Why are you afraid? I'm not going to die here. Flip, I got a bigger destiny. It's on a hill to pay for your life and the sins of the entire world. I'm not going to die here." And when you inquire of the Lord, you can have peace in the midst of a storm. Girls, the world has been racked with anxiety and fear and worry because they don't inquire of the Lord. I see it this way. You walk into your prayer closet and you've got a sieve. Do you all know what a sieve is? It's one of those things you shake the flour, a sifter. Do you call them that? All right, okay. I need a translator. So it's like you've got a sifter. And in that sifter, you put your worries, your fears, your disappointments, all those things you can't reconcile, those unresolvable things. And when you're in the prayer closet, you're sifting them out. I'm sifting. And at the end, there ain't nothing left because you sifted it out in the prayer closet. I got nothing left to worry about because the Bible says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There is a place for you at the feet of your Savior, and he's got something he wants to say to you. Don't listen to some of the ladies on The View who want to tell you that if God speaks to you, there's something wrong with you. You're a mental case. Nothing could be further from the truth. A captivating woman is not one who just knows that God wants to speak to her, but one who lives off the words that come out of his mouth in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, and he'll calm the storms around you. Stand to your feet. We're going to come to a close. And finally, I want to tell you, turn the person next to you and say, "You." And now turn to the person on the other side and say, "You are the answer to somebody else's prayer." Listen to me. The messenger, Eliezer was his name, prayed and said, "God, send me an angel. Send me an angel right now." Come on, girls. Right now. And guess what? She turned up. And she's you, 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 and she's you. You are the answer to somebody else's prayer. So right now we're going to have a call to action. And I've gone over time, but this is important. If you're in college or in high school, run down the front quickly and I pray for you. And I pray for you. College, high school students, get your little tushies down here. We're going to pray for you. Because I don't know about you, but I have had enough with the violence in our schools. I've had enough of seeing young people die. I'm fed up with it. And let the government do what the government does, but we're going to do what we do. We're going to send in our secret agents. See, because in the 60s, they kicked God out of school. How foolish. And after they made that decision, that's when violence and death and murder and suicide and hopelessness and depression increased by the truckload. But they may have kicked God out of school, but they can't kick God out of you. So when you're in school, God is there too. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to invite your friends to my city, to society events. We're going to make it easy for you. All you need to do is invite them. And then I want you to be the voice of life and hope to kids. So many kids in depression. You know how easy it is to go, my gosh, you're amazing. You're incredible. God loves you. You got a great future. I think you're amazing. And I mean, people, they'll feel 10 feet tall. Because, I mean, in church, we take for granted the fact that everybody tells us we're amazing all the time. But it doesn't happen out there. But you're going to be carriers of God's character into your schools. And the third thing that I want you to do is I want you to evangelize in your schools. I want you to go ahead and lead people to Jesus. And they can't stop you. Because you're an American. And we got a First Amendment. Freedom of speech. God bless America. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, I thank you right now for an army of Esthers born for such a time as this, who would intercede for a generation that have been marked for death. We say, devil, back off. We declare today, all our children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of our children. You will not take one more devil. You will not take one more life. You will not take one more spirit. You will not snuff out one more light. Father, today we pray a hedge of protection over these ones. God, and we pray that you would send them into their schools like flames of fire. Flames of fire, God. We would see revival in our colleges, revival in our high schools, so the teachers and the principals would say, whose daughter are you? Whose daughter are you? What is this you're carrying? How do we transform an entire generation, an entire school year of kids? Oh my gosh, it's gotta be Jesus. Father, anoint them this day. Give them courage and boldness, wisdom beyond their years. In Jesus' mighty name, glory, hallelujah. Come on, let's shout an amen. Let's shout an amen. Praise you, Lord, for all you're going to do. I'm telling you, revival is coming. Revival, get ready. Get ready, youth leaders. You better get your nets secure because God's bringing in a miraculous catch. Run back to your seats, darlings. Run back to your seats. All right, last one before we come to a close. There are women here today. And on the inside of you, and maybe just tonight, you felt something bubbling. And God has some work for you to do. This is a call to action. You know, one of my greatest wishes is that we had more female Connect Group leaders who would teach other women how to be a Christian. Like, we're in the most motherless generation of all time. I mean, God help these young people. We've got to be praying for them, but we've got to help them because they've been raised by some of the most selfish of people. And we're going to have to pick up the slack. We're going to have to do the job like Jesus of washing somebody else's feet, getting uncomfortable, getting inconvenienced. And I know that as I'm speaking here today, there's women in your heart, there's a stirring and it's God saying, this is your amen. This is your confirmation that I want you to start a Connect group in your home. All you have to do is open the door, open the Bible. I don't care. Put on a Joyce Meyer CD and talk about it. That is a Connect group. put on some Mama Joyce, and then say, anybody got any questions? And that'll probably take care of it for about 10 years until you have the confidence to run it yourself. So if that's you, don't walk, run to the front, run to the front, run to the front. And I see a picture, as you're running, God's empowering. As you're running, God's anointing you with courage. As you're running, God is giving you wisdom. As you're running, God is giving you boldness. As you're running, God is giving you ideas. As you're running, God is giving you pictures and names of people that you're going to invite. Run, run, run. You're going to be captivating women that are going to raise and release captivating women. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, for these precious ones, God, as they put their hand to the plow, they would not look back, and they would remember the vow that they have made to you today. God, that they would go out and rescue your daughters. Father, there is a generation in our city of women in homes who have been trafficked by the enemy into materialism, into promiscuity, into loose living, into depression, anxiety, and fear. And today we say, Lord, that we will stand in the gap for those that have been forgotten by society. Father, anoint them today in the name of Jesus. And this week, girls, you are to take action on the decision that you've made tonight. Anoint them, prepare them, equip them, fill in the gaps, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. Now shout hallelujah. Say thank you to Jesus. He's gonna use you. He's gonna use you. He's gonna use you. And some of you are afraid because you're like, I was in my other church and I got used and abused. Listen, you know when God's using you? Because God uses you and you don't get consumed. You know the burning bush? Burned up, God used the bush. Guess what? Didn't get consumed. Because when God uses us, it's refreshing. It's refreshing. It's good for your soul. It's time. It's time. It's time. Beautiful Leanne, it's time. Amen. Lift your hands to the Lord. We're going to go out with a bang tonight. Father, I thank you for my precious friends. Father, let them go blessed. Father, be with them. Lord God, guide them. Whisper sweet things into their ears about how much you love them, that you rejoice over them with singing. Father, that you pen the songs, how wonderful life is. Now you're in the world. It wasn't Elton John, it was you. It was you, oh God. He was just picking up the airwaves. He was just a prophet declaring what you said first in heaven. How wonderful life is. Now you're in the world. Father, give them a revelation of your love, a revelation of your love. And there are women here tonight, and you've made some mistakes and you've got some regrets and you've thought, could God ever take me back? And he says, come, my arms are wide open. Don't waste another second thinking that you're not worthy. For my mercy is new every morning and my mercy is inexhaustible. There is always another chance with God. Bless them and keep them in Jesus' mighty name. And somebody shouted and yelled and screamed and gave glory to God and went out of this room. Remember that you're captivating. You are captivating. The world is looking at you for all the right reasons. Mama Novice, the world is looking at you for all the right reasons. God is going to increase your influence, and it's a mandate to lead those women well. Lead them well to be women of God, full of life but non-compromising. Oh, we love you. All right, we have an after party in the youth room. Soda and popcorn, delicious. And register for Cherish. We're history in the making. This is the beginning of the Women's March for Life. They're going to march on the East Coast for who knows what, but here on the West Coast, we're going to be marching for Jesus and marching not as a woman who shocks, but a woman who captivates. Go in this might of yours, girls. Love one another. Don't be jelly. Don't be hating on your sister. Rejoice in her success. Inquire of the Lord. God is with you. God is for you, and he loves you so much. Amen.